Well, good morning, Mosaic. How are you? Hey, I'm Amber Cavazos, Director of She Community. I'm so thrilled to be with you here today. Can we welcome our live stream audience? Yes, they are here too. Happy Mother's Day, moms. I hope you're rested and maybe you ate something good, all right? I hope that the rest of your day is amazing. And now, men in the house, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, this is my moment to catch up on social media. I'm going to catch up on the news real fast. You're thinking, maybe Fortnite, I didn't do so well. Got killed yesterday. So I'm going to try to get it done today. I'm here because a woman next to me asked me to be. Well, I want you to tune in, okay? Don't tune out on us. Tune in, all right? Because what we have for you today is not just for moms, but it, of course, includes moms. And we don't want you to miss what God wants to do today, okay? So let's start with God's word. Good place to start, yes? Let's go there. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. It's actually 12, people. It's actually 12. 12 verses 1 and 2, this is what it says. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off the weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God set for us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he's seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Such a good verse, such a powerful verse. As we talk about the way we're supposed to live, the Bible encourages us to throw off weight that would hold us down, okay? It actually says slow us down, which I love. And here's how I want you to think of weight today. Think about weight as the things that people have told you you're supposed to do. Or because you were raised in a certain way, that is the expectation of you. Because you have the education that you have, this is what you're supposed to do. The things that somebody has said, you have to do that. Those things can start to feel quite weighty. You know, with social media, it's so fun. We get to show our lives and, hey, we had fun. Like, we had fun yesterday with She Community. Wah, wah, wah. We love it. But here's what happens. When we do that, it seems to open the door for people to give their opinions about our lives, right? They start to tell us where they think we should be, for sure, and where they think we should not be. Especially, right? They find you in places where they think you should be somewhere else, and they're willing to tell you. Expectations of people can start to feel like weight on us, and we're going to talk a little more about that. Will you welcome Sarah to the stage? See? Y'all thought you were going to get something wonderful like Amber trying to lift that thing? No, ma'am, and no, sir. All right, that's not my role. However, Sarah does those things, okay? We love CrossFit Northlake. They are part of our community here. Several of them attend Mosaic. And when I go with Sarah, I pretend that I'm a CrossFitter. I do. And she encourages me. And I go to special events, not regularly, of course not, of course not, but special events. And then people say, well, what did you do? And I'm like, well, it was more like boot camp. Like if you ask me directly, but, you know, it's CrossFitting. All right, but what she's going to show you is what it looks like when people put weight on us, okay? When there is outside pressure on your life that God never intended to be there. Now, is she lifting it? She is. Is she moving very fast? No, okay? She is not moving very fast. She's amazing, and she can lift it, but she's still going kind of slow. The scripture tells us that kind of weight isn't going to stop us. What's it going to do? It's going to slow us down. So you can keep moving as people pour into your life the things, the unwanted things, right? You can keep moving, but it will slow you down from what God wants you to do. Now she's going to show us. See, there is a standard, though, because here's what I think we do as Americans in all of our freedom. We throw off all that stuff that people tell us, right? We're like, I don't have to do what you tell me to do. I don't have to go where you tell me to go. I can do what I want. Here's what we forget. God does have a standard, doesn't he? He does. He does have a way. He does have some pressure that he puts on us. The difference is it's appropriate pressure. Come on there, girlfriend. I mean, a couple more. Yeah. Isn't she great? We'll just, if we just watch her long enough, we can act like it's us. All right? Sarah, we weren't done. We weren't. No. Thank you so much. Can you thank her? Isn't she awesome? She is awesome. But here's what I love about it. Did you see her pace? Did you see her pace? See, God does have some things that he wants us to do, but it's just not inappropriate pressure. It is appropriate pressure. So we have to throw those things off, but we also have to choose to engage in the things that God wants us to do. So the first thing I'm going to invite you to do is to identify your weight. Think about your weight. What is it? Is it sin? Here's the deal, y'all. We can move kind of slow with weight from other people, but we're still what? I'm still moving. Sin does what? It trips me up. Am I going very far if I'm tripping every 5 seconds? No. So let's just deal with it, okay? The sin in our lives, we just need to go to the Father and say, you know what, God? This is wrong, and I'm doing it. And I'm choosing to do it over and over again. Will you forgive me? Help me to walk a different path. Help me to run this race without that kind of weight, without sin to trip me up. The second thing is to run your race comfortably and freely. If you get all that weight off, you can run. You'll be comfortable. You'll be free. I mean, I can't do what Sarah did, but the weight that's appropriate for Amber, what God has asked Amber to do, feels right. It feels good. It's not too much. It is exactly what I need to be doing. If I run my race with what God's told me to do, I'm going to do it with endurance, and it's going to be comfortable. Did I say easy? I didn't say easy. Be comfortable. The third thing is embrace what God has set before you. Figure it out. Let's do what he asks us to do, not what everybody else asks us to do, and sometimes not what you expect of yourself, because sometimes that's a weight that we just need to simply throw off. How do we do it? We do it by keeping our eyes on Jesus. He is the author and the finisher, another translation says, of our faith. So I have some couches here that I'm about to fill up with some people, and you know some of them. And what we're going to talk about is in their different lives, in their seasons that they're in, what weight feels like to them, and then when they take all of that off, what the appropriate weight feels like. So will you welcome the panel to the stage? Hi, girls. Wouldn't we just make a great picture on social media right now? Like, we should like all pose and stuff because they're cute. So these are my friends, my mosaic friends, my girls. And sometimes I call people and ask them to do stuff and they go, and then they say, sure. And then I get happy. All right. So I'm so grateful for them agreeing to be part of this panel today. So what they're going to do is just introduce themselves to you. Let you get to know them pretty quick.
Hello, I'm Ashley Waddle. I'm Nana's wife.
We like her.
Thank you. And we have two kids, 11-year-old Nura and 14-year-old Asher. And I am currently on staff as the outreach director, which plug for What If Everyone Served Day this coming Saturday. Please come see me after the tent and I will sign you up.
Hello, my name is Lucia, and I am the wife of Mike.
That's probably him.
And I have two girls, 8-year-old Sophia and 5-year-old Natalia, and I am also a full-time working mom.
Hi, I'm Andrea. I am wife to Marty, and we have 3 children. I'm a partial empty nester. 2 are out of the house, 23 and 21, and then I have a 12-year-old. And I love Mosaic, and I'm a small business owner.
My name's Ambrosia. I am a family nurse practitioner. I have one child, 5-year-old. Her name is Olivia. And I am currently separated and I'm going through a divorce, so I'm learning how to be a single mom right now.
I'm Jennifer. My husband's Jared, somewhere back there. I'm a small business owner. I actually own Created Beautifully. I make jewelry and handbags, and I do not have any children. Okay.
They're great, a great group of women. And what they're going to tell you is based on how they grew up, based on their education, based on sometimes who you're married to or how many kids you have, or just your season of life, there are expectations, weights, pressure, however you choose to word it, that's put on them. So we're going to talk about some of those outside pressures that could possibly slow them down. Go ahead, Ash.
So as a pastor's wife, I definitely have people ask me often what it's like being a pastor's wife and what kind of pressure do I feel. And I want to say thankfully that being the first lady of this church is a pretty good gig. So I really appreciate our community here that does not put too much pressure on me as my role of being Naeem's wife. But, you know, just in general, I think through all the things of growing up in a relatively conservative, very conservative family, there's pressure to agree with a certain worldview. There's pressure as a parent. About 4 years ago, I started homeschooling our daughter and our son for a while. And there's pressure from the homeschool community to, you know, meet certain standards. But and just pressure, I think, also in my role with outreach and women at the church. You know, people want to see different things, and they'll send me emails about, why don't we do this ministry, or why don't we tap into that organization? And so I have to kind of be mindful of not taking on all of that. So lots of pressure from lots of different areas.
So I think for me, working in corporate America, for work, it's you're supposed to have it together by now, because my kids are 8 and 5. They're not babies anymore. So you have to be there, and you have to perform. Just being a mom, I think, puts a lot of pressure on us. You know, my girls want to be with mommy, and they have activities, and, you know, it's like the constant running around. But also, as a Latina, you know, your house has to smell like Fabuloso all the time. So that and probably self-imposed, if you will. Things like, you know, we travel every year to see my parents and my grandparents in Guatemala. And I'm sure my husband would like to go to other destinations. And, you know, we still have to go because it's tradition. And I'm sure my family wouldn't demand me to be there, but it's just where my heart is. So, of course, that puts other weights on me. Just in general, I think, you know, we tend to put a lot on ourselves.
Okay, so I think the expectation that comes to mind for me was when my oldest son was young, there was this expectation whenever he was at preschool or elementary school, just for him to conform and just to be like all the other kids, all the other boys. But my son had ADHD, and so he was constantly wiggling and moving and creating cause and effect, anything that would bring him stimulation, because stimulation is what helped him to focus, little did we know. But he was definitely, you know, a square peg that wouldn't fit in a round hole, and, you know, when the other boys would sit on the floor and play Legos or sit still, he was climbing the supply closet, you know, and so there was the sin for me was that, you know, I just wanted to be fabuloso too and be perfect, like let everyone think I had it all together and that I could control my child and get him to act like all the other kids that weren't, you know, getting involved in this excessive risk-taking behavior that a lot of kids with ADHD would do.
So for me, I feel society, family, kind of expects you to be perfect, you know, as women, have it all together, do everything perfectly, and you often accept that perfection, but life just not, you know, go that way, no matter how much you plan for it. And also as a minority, I feel like there's an expectation that is actually lower, and so you're constantly trying to prove yourself and, you know, hey, you're just as good or better, and you're comparing yourself to others, or if somebody, you know, sees that you're educated, it's like a surprise, and things like that, you know, kind of can weigh you down and slow you down, and you don't think about what you really should be doing and why.
So I'll tell you a little secret here. This is actually the first Mother's Day that I have attended purposefully in the last 10 years. My husband and I have been married for 15 years and unable to have children. And just the world's perspective and just people's perspective in general of what my heart, my mother's heart needs would be to have my arms full, you know? Just that outside pressure of what a family looks like.
Mm-hmm. What it looks like in America. I love that this verse in Mark 12:30 tells us the expectation of Jesus. Like, if we're keeping our eyes on Jesus, what is the kind of pressure that he's putting on us? And it's so simple. This verse says, "And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength." The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. If all of us did that, wouldn't that just be an amazing world, right? I mean, the world out there, think about that. If you just love God first and then you love people like you love yourself. I love myself a lot, all right? And I'm okay this weekend being completely loved on. Like, I am a mother of three children. Love me, you know? But yeah. But if we would just do those two things, wouldn't that be a beautiful world? Just do those two things. So when we think about the weight or the pressure that Jesus is putting on us, that's it. We complicate it. I think at Mosaic we could create that. I mean, we could all just stay right here, couldn't we? Let's not go to work. Let's not go to school. Let's just stay here and love God first and love people like we love ourselves. That would be fun. Unfortunately, we can't do that. But what if we try to practice that? What if instead of just throwing off all this stuff, if we embrace loving God first and loving people like we love ourselves? These ladies are now going to contrast how they choose to live by the standard that God has put on them.
I think one thing that really helped me learn to put off what the world expected and then just choose what God has chosen for me personally is when I had kids, I became a student of my children. And I studied everything I could about what made them tick, their love languages, the way that they learn, their personality types, all the different things about them, how they're wired up, if they're introvert or extrovert. And through all of that process, I realized, oh, well, I'm wired up a certain way as well. God, I would look at my children and just see the beauty in the way God wired them very individually and uniquely. And that helped me to see that I myself was wired up very uniquely and individually, and that I could just step into that and be fully who he wired me up to be and not worry about what other people were expecting of me. I was telling Naeem yesterday when we were talking about this that I was going to tell everyone that one of the expectations people put on me is that I would be nice. Sometimes I have to work hard to be nice. And, but I really have come to appreciate and own who I am in Christ and what that looks like, and not try to live up to who Naeem is, or who a pastor's wife is supposed to be, or who a homeschooling mom is supposed to be, or any of those other labels.
I think for me, it's, you know how people set goals at the beginning of the year and they just say, this is what I'm gonna do this year. And as I think about it, God just asked me to love my family because that's all I can handle right now. And so for me, it's on a day-by-day basis, and I choose to love each one of them every day. And that is how God is choosing to teach me how to calm my spirit too. And just, it's a decision, and it's one day at a time. And I think that's it.
Okay, so what I had to learn is that instead of getting so caught up in what I thought my son should be, or what other people thought he should, how he should act, is that instead of, you know, being hindered by the sin of pride, of wanting to appear perfect, that I, you know, I had to advocate for my son. He accepted Christ around age 7 or 8, and so I just realized, you know, God has made us promises in his word, and these promises were not only for me, but also for my son. So the verse that was most comforting for me was Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And this was my verse that I clung to, and when I would doubt, I would turn it around and make it the opposite. You know, is God saying, I don't have any plans for you, I don't have any plans to prosper you, and I'm going to harm you, and you have no hope or no future? Like, how ridiculous is it that I would even think that? You know, does that sound like my God? No. And so, you know, I'm here to tell you that if you're struggling with your young child right now, you can pray the promises of God over your child, and it will end well. And it has ended well for my son. I don't know if we can get that picture up, but that risk-taking behavior, God actually used it for his glory. My son drives NASCAR now, and I'm so proud of him. So that risk-taking behavior actually comes in handy when you're going 200 miles an hour down the straightaway. It's just so thank you, God, that you are faithful and that you have kept your promises.
Yes. So for me, I have found that no longer focusing on my situation or what society says about you, and actually focusing on the purpose God has for me and my child, and not letting this season define me or the rest of my life, and that there is hope, and as she said, you know, leaning on God's promises and what I want to show my daughter, and, you know, show her that, you know, what she can be and what God, and not even what mommy says you should be, what God says you should be, and passing that knowledge on to her and that wisdom on to her.
So I've been learning a lot of really cool things recently. One, just shifting my perspective from hoping for something to hoping in someone has changed everything. Mm-hmm. I have come to see that God didn't give me these desires to taunt me. He didn't give them to me to take them away, but instead he wanted to fulfill them in his own way. And he has. He's brought an amazing young woman into my life who is a mentee and an employee, actually. And I am able to just pour into her. Someone asked me a couple years ago, they asked, you know, why do you want to be a mother? And my response was not even so much that I wanted babies, but I wanted to pour myself out into someone else. And that's what a mother is. I mean, that's what my mother did for me, and that's what so many of you do for your families. And he's fulfilling that desire for motherhood, not with children, but with individuals for me to pour myself into. And I have something for any lady here who is dealing with infertility or loss or just struggling with that desire to be a mother and to give of yourself that way, I have a special gift that me and my team made for you, and I'll have it for you out front under the tent.
Awesome. So there are different weights. I think in your own life, you can identify where your weight is coming from. We have my family. We are a family of five, and we have different weights on us. We are all here every Sunday, but you never see us together, all right? Some of you are going, she has that child? Yes, they're mine, all right? I have three teenagers, and with the ministry life comes some pressure. There comes some expectation. I always get, your kids are so cute. Thank you. And I always say, and they're a mess. You know, like, they're teenagers just like your teenagers, and they act like teenagers. But the pressure to have this family that everybody just thinks not only looks great, but is great. All right. And while we love Jesus and we serve him here, we are not perfect, you know. The additional thing we have in our family is Lucretia Berry does Brownicity. And there are times where people think Lucretia Berry and I should be arm in arm with the same cause. Like, let's go, Amber and Lucretia, down the street. Let's make it happen. And that is not what God's called me to do. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with the race that God's called me to run. She's okay with the race God's called her to run. And it's just being able to identify that weight, identify the sin, get rid of that stuff, right, so that you can run in the way that God wants you to run. Embrace what he has for you unapologetically. Can you do it unapologetically? When you know it's from God, when you know it's from him, it makes it easy. I love this scripture. I use it a lot. I said to Ashley, it's kind of like it describes my life so much. But it talks about what the weight that God puts on us feels like versus the other kind. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 in the Message version says this: are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. I think that's the kind of life God has for all of us. Whether you're a mom, you're a dad, you're a young adult, you're a college student, you're an empty nester, you're a grandmother, you're a grandpa, it doesn't matter. God has a plan for you, and when you are walking in step with him, it is light. It is free, even though you're moving, okay? So just be encouraged today. God has a great plan for you, and if you need to throw some stuff off, do it. Throw it off, get rid of it, and do what he's calling you to do.
Yes, thank you so much. I appreciate that. And thank you so much to all of you ladies for being willing to come up here and be vulnerable and share your stories. And I know that they would all be more than happy to speak with anyone after the service. If anything stuck out to you that you would love to connect with them about. And I just truly appreciate it. Can we thank them? Thank you. Yes, and as we close the service today, I just want to take a few moments and say, I hope that some of the different stories here, maybe it touched a point with you or a place in your heart or something that you're thinking about or dealing with, and whether you're my 14-year-old son or you're a grandma or you're anything in between, we all have this weight that can be put upon us. And today, my prayer is that we would just take off that weight and not hold on to it anymore. So we're going to take some time to respond. And maybe during the response time, you want to go to the cross and you want to pin something up to the cross. You're going to pin that sin and that shame or that weight or that expectation. And you are going to say, no more. That's not a part of me anymore. Or maybe you want to go light a candle and you just want to say a prayer for someone. Maybe you want to pray for someone who's put that on it, who's put that on you, and you just won't receive it. Or maybe you know someone who needs to just take that weight off themselves. Or maybe you want to take communion and remind yourself of all the work that God did for us and the price that Jesus Christ paid for us to live freely and lightly. Will you join me in prayer right now? Father God, we just thank you so much that you are a kind and gracious Father. Lord, that you have wired us up intentionally and purposely. You have a calling on our lives. And God, this morning, I pray for every single one of my friends here in this room or watching online or listening, Lord, that they would not accept the weight put on them by the world or by others or by themselves. And Lord, that they would no longer allow themselves to be entangled by the sin that has entangled them. Lord, but that today they would choose to set that aside. They would choose to stand in the grace that we have because of Jesus Christ. Lord, that they would take on their righteousness that they have a right to because of the cross of Christ. Lord, thank you for your power. Thank you for your purpose. God, we love you so much. In your holy name I pray. Amen.